Digital Salon Season 3.
To work with what I could, like if I couldn't cut my hair, what else was I to do?
Like as a kid, just, like beating myself that's the one up, definer, I guess, is having short
top
hair.
That I picked out. Just because I had to,
like I wouldn't do my makeup or anything, so I was like, I could easily pass as like a kid, like a boy.
This is the Eldo podcast.
Eldo podcast. It's finally fucking happening.
Me and Deimos have been like...
We gotta set it up right there.
We're coming for fucking Logan Paul. We're coming for Joe Rogan.
Big ledge with
Fuck Joe Rogan, he ain't got shit on us.
Exactly.
Go ahead. No, I was like, what's my anthropology class? And part of it is like...
A what?
My anthropology.
What's that? Study of humans.
The study of humans. And human
behavior. I don't
know
what that is.
Anthro means like human, and then apology is like study.
Centa means...
Like, I'm in my...
Ten.
Oh,
it's 10. Every 100.
Anthropogenic activities and effect on the environment.
When did you become such a fucking nerd?
Since day one.
You just never see me, like, in school. Like, in my closet.
No, bro. All I know about you is fucking COVID year, you failed, like, everything.
Oh, me too. Didn't we all fail?
I think we all failed. I think everybody failed at least, like, one class.
Like,
it's
like bad.
Except, like, white kids.
From sunrise to sunset, El Dorado Park, or Eldo for short, is one of the most populous and active public spaces in the city of Long Beach, California. But from the minute the streetlights turn on until the park lights turn off, El Dorado becomes a meeting space for a clique of young male skaters to congregate.
Then I ended up just like not. Like I would like put on my Zoom and I would literally go to sleep, play guitar, do anything. I would like cook. I would do any. I would like make pasta from scratch.
One time I was in a Zoom class and like no one in my house, everyone was like gone or asleep or whatever. A bird flew into my house.
What the fuck?
So I was in the middle of Zoom class. It was like right when it started, and I had to like step away. It was probably like 15 minutes where I had to like try and get this bird out. Like flew in. Right? And then it like went deep into the house into like the bathroom. So it was like,
wait.
So I like made a little bird trail there.
For most, Eldo is a safe space to hang out after work or school, but for some, taking part in the fun is not so easy.
I'm so down.
You're not down.
I'm so down.
It's a different space. Like, it's a very... It can be a very aggressive space. It can be a very high-energy space. And there's... It's also very casual. So, it's, like, easy to... It's not exactly easy to access because, like, you may not be accepted. Like, and you may not be able to deal with that, and you may seek somewhere else to go. So, not that it's easy for everyone to get into that space and like, utilize that, like, different space to have, like, a different energy about yourself and, like, be, like, let out, like, a part of you that is, like, not... like the usual, like for at home, like I feel like the hard part about the accessibility for some people is because it is high stakes for some people. I feel like it's like there were high stakes like when I first came to the skate park, like am I going to like this and is this going, like not even this skate park, like any skate, like the first skate park I went to, I remember it was like called Turtle Park, it's in Arizona. And I went with a friend from, like, middle school or something. Yeah, it was, like, middle school, like, 8th grade. And we went, and...
This is Julio, a 20-year-old non-binary skater.
It was pretty high stakes. Like, I was anxious. I was trying my best. I was, like, just trying to do what everyone else was like doing with the park. And yeah, it was high stakes for me at first, but it can be, yeah, or it can be really irritating. I think it has to do with, like, because I get like, sensory overloads at times, and skating doesn't exactly help with that, because when you skate, you get a little out of breath. Bleachers, the lights, the noise that the lights make, you can hear yourself, the people here, the way that they look at you, the breathing heavy, and then you can feel the clothes on your legs touching you in your brain. Thoughts that creep in your brain that they're specifically telling to you. Like, just the vibe of, like the, I was talking about the lights and the bleachers and, like, the buzz of the lights at night. When I first met Rosemary, we would call it like demon hours at Eldo, because like when the sun went down, it was just demon hours, literally. So, yeah.
Social anxiety and sensory overload are not the only factors at play here, however. As a queer skater, Julio has faced marginalization from their male counterparts. Feeling unwelcomed at skate parks because of your sexuality or gender identity is unfortunately very common, as many young male skaters hold homophobic and misogynistic beliefs about what men and women are or should be capable of.
And I hate saying it, but they're really not on the same level yet. There's definitely a lot of girls that do compete in the same level of guys, but if you watch a lot of the women's like competitions in comparison to a lot of the men's, it can be quite underwhelming, because there's not a lot of girls who are doing the same things as guys, which I don't know how to explain. And I hate to say it, because it sounds bad, you know, like, of course girls can do anything a guy can do, but they're just, in women's skating, they're not as much there yet. But yeah, there's definitely, you also definitely see a lot of girls kind of get thrown a little bit more attention because they're women skaters, where they're just not at that
age, like how to ride the board and stuff. But when I would go to like the skate parks, or like even the park down the street where I used to live when around that age, like there's just all males and not really many other females or any other non-traditional skater like present. So I'd feel really intimidated and didn't really like want to go out on the board like by myself to like, oh, you know, there's a girl on the board and like all eyes on me, or they might be thinking other things like, oh, you're only doing it for attention, or you're only doing it just because, or like, you know how like teenage boys can be like really mean. So yeah, I was just like getting in my head a lot about
so that. It's definitely a weird, it's a very touchy middle ground, like, with women in professional skateboarding, because they definitely have a place in professional skateboarding. There's a lot of very, very, very good female pro skaters, but then there's also a lot that kind of just go get in on the basis
that's
of being
the thing.
A woman.
I was a very, like, I never felt like I really was enough to be in, like, a specific
a hot topic
group. Like,
on whether
group
that
of, like, kids, or, like, after like school, that. They'd always go to the skate park. Like, I wasn't allowed to go out much, so I couldn't really, like, go often. And I feel like everyone there already knew what they were doing. And, like, I was kind of nervous. Like, already, like, I definitely was more femme when I was younger, so, like, you thought I was there just because, like, I was with a friend. Like, I wasn't skating there, too, you know? So no one would really, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like no one would offer to, like, teach me or anything because, like, I don't know. Maybe they thought I couldn't. I don't know.
This is Victoria, a 19-year-old non-binary skater. Though they are not a woman, they've nonetheless faced sexism at skate parks. From the moment they started skating in middle school, Victoria knew that skating was considered to be a boys' club by many. But this didn't discourage them. It only made them want to join the fun even more.
Like, to be 100% honest, it was because I wanted to be, like, present a bit more masculine, because it was like all boys who skated. Yeah, I think it's such like a funny word, but like it definitely, like it works, like the word works. I was definitely a tomboy growing up. I always wanted to cut my hair, but I wasn't allowed to. But yeah, so I would like, I don't know, I still dressed femme, but like I wanted to present more masculine. And like I felt like anything that I could do, I would try to wear big clothes. But it was like my mom would always tell me that parezco chola and that like I'll get jumped or something. So she wouldn't let us wear like baggy clothes, but like whenever I could, like I try to work with what I could. Like if I couldn't cut my hair, like what else was there to do? Like as a kid, like that's the one definer, I guess, is having short hair. Because like I wouldn't do my makeup or anything, so I was like I could easily pass as like a kid, like a boy. A lot of people ask like, oh, are you used to being around guys? I'm like, no, it was kind of hard making friends growing up, and I realized that I always tried making friends that were girls. So I was like, you know what if I try hang out with guys instead? Like maybe I'm just looking for like in the wrong place. And I just thought it'd be like something that I can grab onto with, be like, oh, I skate too, and kind of like have that kind of as like my backup plan, where it's like if they don't want to accept me, like at least I skate.
Eventually, Victoria did find a group of friends who didn't care what their gender was.
The fact that like growing up, they didn't care. Like they didn't care at all. Like they would not even bring up like, yeah, you know, Victoria is like, well, I don't identify as a girl now, but when I was younger, like, oh yeah, Victoria's a girl. You know, like everyone, like that's a joke to play off of. Like it was never that, like ever. They'd pick on me for different stuff, like how all friends do, but it was never that. And I thought that was like, that's why no matter how like different we think now, like knowing that they, even as kids, like how innocent we were, I'm like, you know, there's still something there. Like I know they're sweet people and they're very cool. Because yeah, they never like use that as like a reason to like call me out or anything. Yeah, which is really cool. They treated me like the rest of us. They were all boys. So it's like the fact that they just treated me exactly the same. Like they wouldn't be, you know, they wouldn't talk to me differently. They wouldn't treat me any nicer or any meaner. So it was like, it was cool.
And while even from a young age, Victoria knew that skating was an activity associated with boys, it was actually a woman who they have to thank for introducing them to skateboarding.
I feel like growing up, I didn't take things for granted, but I didn't really realize like how important things were. My sister, it was like her first year in college. She went to CSULB and she was working. She was a full-time student and she was working part-time to save up money. And she knew that we used to not really get things for Christmas. But we wouldn't really get presents and stuff. And I realized that, yeah, like she was like living her own life and she still like thought about me and like spent like a part-time job, like that's not a lot of money. And for like a broke college student, she bought it for me, which was very nice. Like she was very much like goth emo. Like she's very like quiet and like mad at everyone. She hates everything. And the fact that she like, I was so annoying when I was a kid. I was so annoying. And the fact that she like still came back home and she like got me this present, which was something that I never really imagined like my family ever buying for me. And the fact that my older sister, 17 years old, just went to college, like bought it for me. I don't know. It was very sweet. Now that I think about it. Back then it was just like, oh, that's cool. And I was also very nonchalant. Like I was very like, oh wow, you know, I didn't really want this one, but it's cool, you know, type of thing.
It is this kind of solidarity that encourages queer people to keep skating despite the opposition. And it is also because of this kind of solidarity that I do not wish to give the impression that queer people are passively accepting their marginalized status within the skating scene. When conducting my research, I was consistently reminded of Michelle Desherteaux's notion of spatial appropriation, in which she describes the way in which people recontextualize a space's cultural meaning through their interactions with it. In this case, by occupying skate parks, queer skaters are challenging their cis-heteronormative and patriarchal power structures. Julio, for example, has described a sense of empowerment ever since they traded in their skateboard for rollerblades.
Now I feel like since I'm roller skating and not skateboarding, I'm like, I even feel like I'm not using it how, like, it was made for. And I guess that's true. I don't know if it was like built with roller skaters in mind, but I kind of like that. Like, I would intentionally do tricks that I think other people don't like, or like think other people don't do. Like, I perceive it as feminine for me, so I think that's also a big part. It's like why I want to wear this, because like I want to like express that and let that like out there. I don't like, I want to be able, like, yeah, obviously expressing, yeah. I just, it's also like why I'm not like super confident about what I'm saying, like about femininity, is because like I'm not confident in my femininity. Like, I was trying on like tops from the women's section with my friend the other day, and I like was like, I was hating myself like half the time, and I was just like beating myself up for like each top that I picked out, just because I had to like look like perfect, or else it wasn't like good at all. Like, I don't know, I have expectations of myself that I do not fill in regards to gender expression. So yeah, that's why I like to roller skate, so I can express that femininity.
Julio's not alone in their thinking. Across the country, there's a growing number of groups organizing safe spaces for queer and women skaters. I got to speak with Angela and Ash, the hosts of one such group, Skate and Meet Santa Ana.
These skaters as individuals, but putting them in context of a broader queer skating community. So that's why I reached out, and I'm very thankful that you're comfortable doing this interview. So like, for the first question, I guess just like, how did Skate in Santa Ana start? Whose idea was it, and like, what was the initial inspiration?
It started in 2019. I happened to just see the flyer for the very first meetup, and I was interested in finding a group to skate with. So it was like, it felt like destiny or whatever, because it was in the bathroom of one of my favorite bars in Santa Ana. So I just showed up to the first meetup, and I made friends with the organizers, which was our friend Dorian Romero. And she started the group because she was inspired by the skater, what's her name? Sky? I forgot her last name. But the young girl.
Sky Brown?
Yeah, Sky Brown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was inspired by her. And so that's what made her want to start a skate group. And then she decided to put a focus on female, queer, the queer community, and provide a safe space for them. So that's why she started the meetups. And then when she started to take on other projects, I was still going to every meetup and getting involved. So she kind of let me keep it going when she was getting busy with other things. And then I met Ash in 2020 at a Black Lives Matter Go Skate Day protest. And then she was really excited about joining. So I don't know if you want to talk about that part, actually, when you joined.
Yeah, so I originally heard about the skate group because I met Dorian. I know Dorian through this bar that I would DJ at called El Indio in downtown Santa Ana. And I told the host, like, oh, like, I'm looking for other females who skate. I'm trying to skate. And, you know, it's always been hard to find other, like, female or non-traditional skaters out there. And he's like, oh, you should talk to Dorian. Like, they started a skate group. I was like, oh, what? No way. That's really cool. So I looked them up on Instagram. And the first event I went to was the one that Angela talked about, the Black Lives Matter in LA. And I ended up meeting Angela there for the first time. And that's when we met. And yeah, ever since then, we've been involved with Skate Meet Santa Ana. And eventually, Dorian handed over the skate group to us to take over as co-leaders. But yeah, from there, just really cool opportunities have come our way, and just we've been really has been really grateful to like help out the community and have other non-traditional skaters find a voice and to make friends by what we do.
That's awesome. And like, what has been like the community response? Are there any like particular stories that come to mind or like relationships that you've built while hosting these events?
Yeah, we've made a lot of really good friends through the meetups. Like before, I remember in the early days, it would kind of just be me, Dorian, and like a third friend. And it would just be us skating once a month together, which I still was really grateful for, and I loved it and everything. And then slowly people would come and we would start to get like regulars. And then like they went, it was really quick to see them go from just being strangers to just being like the homies that we skate with. And so we've come across lots of people like that who we're still friends with to this day, like of all different backgrounds and ages, like local to Orange County, and also people who come from like LA, or like we have a friend from Whittier who would take the bus just to like to make bus admission to come to our meetups, and they're like super young and now they're in college. So it's like crazy to see like the relationships grow that way and just connect through skating. At least that's the impact that comes to my mind.
That's really cool to hear, because like from the other interviews I've done, people have said, especially women and queer skaters have said, that sometimes when I go to a skate park, it can definitely be like an insider versus outsider group. And it can be very gatekeeping, very like hyper individualistic at some of these parks. So what do you think you do differently that to like foster that sense of community and make it a space where people can actually interact and meet each other?
Well, we've tried to incorporate more activities or themes, or just kind of like inviting, like we'll have music or raffles. Like sometimes when we do the raffles, we'll start off the meetup and all of our homies will come through and come say hi, or we'll go up to people who we have a feeling are there for our meetup. But then when we do our raffle, like we'll kind of go around to try to talk to most of the park or whoever looks interested or, you know, approachable. And then we'll be like, hey, we're doing a raffle. I don't know, you're probably not here for this meetup, but like, feel free to join in and find out more about us and stuff. And that kind of like welcomes everybody, at least, you know, it's like sectioned out, you know, whoever wants to approach us at first, and then secondary will approach them if we feel comfortable enough. And I think that's like an easier way and a logical way to go about it, you know, without like antagonizing anybody. But usually we don't run into any like a-holes like that often. So we're lucky in that regard too.
Yeah. And we also make sure we, on our flyers, just say all skills welcomed, all wheels. That way everyone knows we're very inclusive and we want everybody to join. And a lot of people are saying like, oh, I'm scared to go, like on our post. Sometimes they're like, oh, I really want to go, but I'm nervous. And we tell them like, oh, like if you come, like it, that'll be fine too. Like we'll be there to support you and help you skate. And we could also show you a thing or two on the board. It's not about being the best skater. It's just having a good time and having fun.
Right. Cool. The whole thing about like women skaters only doing it for attention and like that intimidating a lot of like young girl skaters, that's come up like a lot in the interviews actually. And like with that in mind, if you could like send a message back in time to your younger self when you first started skating, what would you say?
I would say like, who cares or like what they think, or like they're probably gonna forget about you a few seconds later once you're on the board skating and they're gonna do their own thing. So it doesn't matter, just go out there and do it. If it's something you love and you're passionate about, like, you know, just don't pay attention to them. Like kind of block it out. And they're probably dealing with their own like ego or self-consciousness, which is why they're probably, you know, saying something to me pretty much. So
yeah. Insecurity and stuff. Yeah
exactly. Other insecurities coming out and just taking it out on other females. So
yeah,
I tell myself, younger self, not to worry about what they're thinking.
I was a little surprised too when he was giving me trick tips, because he was pretty damn good. And I was a little like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I understand my homie is giving me trick tips, but like, this is some random guy I've literally talked to for 5 minutes when I was leaving a park. About Eldo, which I thought was pretty cool.
It's like, you go to other parks and you're like, oh, is this your local? And they're like, no, or like, yeah, this is my local, or like they tell you what their local is, and then they're like, what about you? And you have to let that phrase out. Oh, I skate Eldo. And then you like piss your pants a little bit and a tear falls, but we move on. But yeah, I feel like we get embarrassed about Eldo. It's like, oh, she's dirty, but she's what we got. Us country girls, we make do.
This is my first skateboard I ever had. Yeah.
Can you tell me more about the stickers?
This, I think a friend gave to me. This I got off of a box of these shoes. I forget what brand this is, but. And then once I was like learning tricks at a park, and another girl was there, and she was also skating. She had like, I thought she looked so cool because she had a ton of like cuts on her arms and stuff from when she was like practicing. And she gave me this one, and this one.
Yeah, she'd come to our meetups. We will have one next month. We don't have it like decided yet, but you can follow us on Instagram or on TikTok, Skate and Meet Santana with underscores under between each word.
It says SK8 _N_meet_Santana. It's really long. Like, it's kind of our thing.
If you're a cisgendered male skater listening to this, I hope the perspectives and voices you just heard encouraged you to be more mindful about the barriers queer and women skaters face. And if you are a queer or woman skater yourself, I hope that this podcast reminds you that you are not alone and that you belong at skate parks.
This podcast is brought to you by the Digital Salon Editorial Board. Danielle Gonzalez, Rebecca Smith, Olivia Arena, and Dawa Tikin, in conjunction with UCLA's City Lab and Urban Humanities Initiative. We would like to thank Gus Wendell, Jacqueline Barrios, Dana Cuff, Gustavo Leclerc, Rain Laborde Ruiz, Martin Brennan, and everyone else who made this podcast possible. We would also like to thank our peer reviewers for their time and dedication, Charles Livermore, M. Marinoff, Jacqueline Barrios, Mario Ceballos, Shane Rayner Roth, and those who wish to remain anonymous. Thanks for listening to the Digital Salon Podcast. New episodes are released every Thursday. We hope to see you then.